Australia and online at aflnation.com.au. Welcome to AFL Nation.
For McDonald's, the Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value.
A bruising and enthralling opening to the final series is immediately followed by the most intriguing matchup of the weekend. For the second year running, the Brisbane Lions present for what is the ultimate assessment in a qualifying final against Richmond. Tonight, we'll learn the extent of their improvements and we'll get the answer to the question, are they ready to contend? And we'll get a nice little measure on the reigning champs as well on the stage where they have proven imperious in recent years. On AFL Nation from the Gabba, the second qualifying final, the Brisbane Lions versus Richmond ahead. Jared Waitley with you on AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. Terms at mcdonalds.com.au and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. Anthony Hudson's with me. Hello, Huddo.
Hello, Jared. I really can't wait for tonight. Last night I was apprehensive from a parochial point of view, I suppose, as well as really looking forward to the finals. And it delivered in many ways. And congratulations to Port Adelaide, to Frank, their incredible form. But tonight I'm just really excited about the game and to see how Brisbane go. I mean, if we get to the end of the night and Brisbane win and Port Adelaide won last night, well, you know, all these doubts that have been there all year will be unfounded. But, can't wait to see how they go. Can they get the Richmond monkey off the back? All those questions will be answered very, very soon on a warm night in Brisbane.
It's beautifully said. There's nothing like a hoodoo in a final series, Gary Lyon, and 15 in a row, no less. Welcome.
Good evening, in actual fact. Combine that with a decided advantage for the Brisbane Lions. So throw that into the mix and then it becomes a fan. I'm like Anthony, I can't wait. I enjoyed last night enormously. I didn't have the same interest as you guys from a sidebar. So Port Adelaide, I thought, were absolutely magnificent. And again, the story this year will be told in years to come, but who knows what it was like for Port Adelaide when it came to it. Half time, point up, second half. Take nothing away from them. I just think their game stacks up and their game style. We can talk about that all we want, but at home, on their home deck, in their own environment, in the comfortable environs of where they're at, and that plays out tonight for Brisbane. So that's why it's relevant. It's relevant for Brisbane tonight against the Richmond side who have been, relocated. They're disjointed. They're out. Now, they're a great side. They are a great side, so they may overcome it, and the history tells you they probably will, but it's set up for something pretty special, I reckon, tonight.
Are you open to the idea of the Lions planting their flag?
Not only am I open, inside the next hour and a half, I'm going to work out whether I actually tip Brisbane tonight, because it's just something I'm fiddling with. You two might be able to talk me out of it, or you might talk me into it. I don't know. But, so to that point, I think they're right in it. I think no Lynch as well.
Yeah, isn't that fascinating that the question mark over both, and you thought in one play and the other, but it ends up being that Andrews, who was projected to miss the longer, is the one that plays and Lynch doesn't.
Tiger supporters who are, rightfully just so confident at this time, they go, that means no Lynch, don't you? It means Dusty wanders down there. He's kicked two bags of six in his career, happens both to be against this mob, and has absolutely ripped them to shreds throughout his career.
Does Brandon Stasovic play on him?
Brandon reckons he does.
Or does Darcy Gardner?
Read some interesting quotes from Brandon today, which I loved.
Yeah.
I want the opportunity. I love playing those sorts of blokes. I know how he plays. I know what I'm up against. So that probably means he won't.
What do you think Chris Fagan's approach would have been during the week?
I wonder whether he's delved back into the Lee Matthews playbook when the almighty, all-conquering Essendon side went up there. And it's the same mentality, isn't it? I mean, there's no – I think coaching, and we can talk about Kenny and how he's got that group. I think from the outside, we can overcomplicate coaching. I think the complexities of coaching come from below the senior coach. That's the way. The more and more I see it, and where I think it's going, the getting them prepared, and as I spoke about yesterday, heart intact, all that sort of stuff. That's what Fags is doing. He's telling them how good they are. He's telling them how proud he is. He's telling them how special this will be if we can achieve something together. All those touchy-feely stuff, which we should never, ever underestimate.
They are the host nation at the Olympics, and I love that. So he has done his absolute best to push it away, but what he's done is show them the Freeman documentary. This is it. This never comes around again in your lifetime. And it's a real thing that plays out every 4 years in wherever the games are. It's a very real thing for the Lions. I'm glad they're embracing it privately and it has seeped into the public conversation.
Yeah, to me it's a question of whether it's definitely real, but is it as real as, well, it's not as real as Cathy in Sydney, but I interviewed Craig Mottram at length recently and he talked about he moved to Ballarat ahead of the Commonwealth Games to train because he'd go to the tan and try and do his training and everyone would go, oh, Craig, can I run a lap with you? Is Brisbane really experienced? Is footy big enough up there to be that?
Jake Niles' piece today says no way, and he's there.
Yeah.
So they get nothing but the glow. They get their own facility, they get their own homes, and they get the glow of this is the only time in your lifetime that we'll get to host this event, and you just finished second.
So I guess the only downside is that other teams have been playing at their home as well. So Brisbane and Richmond have that unbelievable record, and then there's the pressure. He pretty much seemed to bring that up about Freeman. It didn't seem to be forced, so he was happy to get it out there. And likewise, before the game in round 14, he brought up the fact that they had the horrible record against Richmond and they've been ticking these teams off. That's all very well when you win, but when you keep losing, then it just keeps being brought up. And it was the same. He brought up the bad goal kicking earlier in the year and then all of a sudden it kept going. Now he hates it when anyone brings it up. And he said to the journo this week, have you looked at the goal kicking in the last three matches? We're in the top four, you know, so shut up.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, Chris Scott doesn't bring up the finals record last night. And, of course, it's going to come your way. So you get on the front foot if that's the way that you want to play it.
And for Richmond, so in these finals, they have whacked teams. So outside of the preliminary final against Collingwood, which was a huge shock, we were together that night. And it'll be a surprise the night that they lose, maybe not to the magnitude of what it's been previously. But they have whacked teams in their finals. I'm just intrigued to see for all their course through the season, and they look so well set. Are they? We'll see tonight.
There is every possibility that we might be looking at one of the greatest sides of the modern era. And that could be franked and rubber stamped this year if they go through them and that provides 3 out of 4 and one bad night. 3 premierships out of 4 years and one bad night against the Collingwood Footy Club in a prelim. That's the only time they haven't stepped up. And you want to, this is how well they're tracking at the moment. In every measurement you want to go by, they are much better than they were this time last year. Every measurement. You can go through it, all of the stuff that might bore people, but the stuff that holds up in terms of where you're going as a footy club, they are above where they were this time last year. So they could be. They just might be Hawthorn-ish. They might be, they could be comparable to the great Hawthorn sides.
And are we going to judge them as being a great side or in terms of personnel, or are we going to judge them as saying they have just one of the best systems you've ever seen that suited their personnel?
Don't underestimate the personnel. Don't underestimate Martin's influence. Underestimate Koch and Grimes might be a defender for the generation, So, they got both happening. Vlosten is unfashionable, but, he doesn't jump out as Luke Hodge as a halfback flanker, but he might be, So this is the sort of side. And if you're going to win this flag, you've got to go through Richmond. That's basically where we're at. And Brisbane got an opportunity to go through them first up. So it'll take something pretty special.
I'm endlessly fascinated about the transformation going back. We've all delved into it and spoken to different people along the way, going back to when they turned their form around. I was talking to someone a few weeks ago about it again. I was like, how can Damien Hardwick have turned himself in? And we all know the story of what he did off the field, but just in terms of the playing style. And I was saying how they sat down with their recruiting team and said, why did we get this guy to the club? Okay, Jason Castagna, he can do this. He can do it. And they put it all up there and then they were, well, let's create a game style around what we've got. So, which makes perfect sense.
How simple is that? I wonder if every club does that.
Yeah.
What do you got at your disposal? Let's coach around it. But, well, they have. And they got, this system stuff, which, again, I was never immersed in that. I was more the emotional. I'm more an emotional footy person as opposed to a system-based person. But I've immersed myself in this, and it is true. I mean, it holds them in such good stead. It's not complicated, which is why I'm really fascinated to see how Brisbane's set up, because there is no secret to what Richmond are doing. For Brisbane, anyway. For us, we know 80% of 85. There's probably 15 of the technical stuff that we don't, but 90, 85, and most people do, right? So the fascination is, how do they combat it? And we had a look at this on Monday on the couch, and this is for people listening. This is just one basic thing. Their defence is so key, and Grimes is such a pivotal anchor in that. Keep your six forwards, right? So from 60 back to the goal square, don't let your six get outside that. Because the minute you do, you're giving Richmond exactly what they want, which has been the cornerstone of their premiership. You know, turnover, they score on turnover, all that sort of stuff. Keep your back six. Keep them within 65. We showed the vision. There was a bloke there. I can't even remember who it was. There's Grimes. There's him. Ball's on a half-back flank. He runs off and runs into the middle of 20 players.
Yeah.
So if they're outnumbered, the outnumber's 11 to 10. Who cares? And I tell you who cares, Richmond. Because there's one of the great intercept set-up players sitting back there on his own doing exactly what he wants. I don't want him on his own all night, Dylan Grimes. Not once for the night.
It is the philosophical tug of war at the moment is how much you believe in your own system and how much you go out to beat the opponent.
Yeah,
in this final series, if you haven't planned specifically to beat Richmond, you haven't given yourself a proper chance.
Well, that's exactly right. That's why, again, tonight will be fascinating. And if I had my preference of camera angle, it's a behind the goal for the whole night.
Yeah, now, I was thinking that today. I wish we had that tonight. Yeah.
So many times, you know, in this year where we haven't been at grounds, we have the privilege of either being there so we can see it or we can ask for, you know. And tonight would be a really, really interesting one.
So the loser, if they're good enough to get through a semi-final, will end up in Adelaide for a prelim, which is a fearsome task on what we saw last night. And not just because Port are real, but because of the environment. And Kane told us the environment might be twofold. He thinks there'll be between 40 and 45,000 fans by preliminary final night when there was 25,000 last night. Fantastic. Kenny's boys franked themselves, didn't they?
Oh, they franked is exactly the word. And, you know, I agree with Ken that the first half of this year that the respect was begrudging, and it had a level of suspicion about it. I don't agree that was maintained. I think the respect came, and by the end of it, we were all this is for me anyway. By the end of it, I'm convinced, right? So, their investment in him and his investment in them is what can carry them to places that ultimately everyone wants to go to. And I look back at it and I see the beverage investment in his group and their investment in him. We spoke about Hardwick. Fagan's got that. Fagan's got that, you know, that connection to his players. Everything I'm told, he's got that. We can't walk along to training and witness that sort of stuff. So I think it's powerful. I just think it is so, so powerful. And there's not a player in Port Adelaide, if Ken said, you know, go down to the pier down there every morning at 4 o'clock and jump in the water and swim backwards back, they'd be there at 3:30. That's where we're at with that footy club. And, you know, I just talked about it last night. And Tim Watson, who's so heavily invested in his club, and Ben Rutten, and he's a bit worried about the club and in the investment. Well, his greatest challenge, Ben Rutten, I don't know Ben Rutten from Adam, is to get the heart of that player. He can have all the system in the world, but if he can't motivate them to play that way, then it's not worth a pinch. So that's his starting point, I would think. And Ken, 2 years ago he came into the building. We did, you know, he did his travel. We went and had breakfast with him just over here. And his love for Butters, Rosie, and Dersma was almost unnatural. but that's the investment in them. And he kept talking about them as young men. And then the playing side of it. And that's the way they play. So
it was a great combination last night, though, wasn't it? The older Bulls in the middle, as the game went on, they got stronger and stronger around the contest, Boak and Wines and that group of players. And then you had Butters doing a couple of things, and Rosie was looking more and more dangerous as time went on. He hasn't had a great year. He's had a few interruptions along the way. But that was sort of a couple of question marks going into the game about what they could deliver, the youngsters, and maybe some of the older ones as well, less so.
Yeah.
But it was a great combination.
It was, wasn't it? And then there were those four, there's courageous acts everywhere, but the four acts of Dersma knocking himself out. Rosie having the courage to go back and kick the first goal of the third quarter when Tom Hawkins didn't have that courage. I thought that was stark in the overall aspect of the game. Butters, you know, 2-on-1, 3-on-1, crash the pack, ball ends up out. And the Burne Jones standing his ground when the big charging, raging bull was coming to go over the top of him. He just stared him down and, you know, just really, really significant. So then you look at Boak and Wines and Rockcliffe and those blokes, and they get lift. The lift that they get from that is just it's hard to measure. So they're in the beautiful, beautiful hitting zone where they've got every sort of aspect. Their young kids are not there just to make up numbers. Their young kids are having moments that determine games and inspiring an older group who aren't there just playing out time. They're also determined. They're in the sweet spot.
And I sat here last night pre-game, I'm not sure I would have picked Stevie Motlop last night.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that was a good call.
Yeah, and again, in a low-scoring contest, and which is the season we're in, three goals and another, you know, direct assist is votes in a qualifying final. So whatever you think of Stevie Motlop, he's been a huge determining factor in a big final.
So the biggest conversation out of it is Geelong and their worsening finals records. What was your view, Gaz, last night of them?
I'm not giving up on them, so I don't give up on them for the year. The assessment, I don't think we should jump to any strong conclusion just yet. They had their moments and didn't take them. They had their moments. You know, we were doing our analysis differently to you because we didn't have to, you know, we weren't ball by ball. So we sat there with all our people around us and and that second quarter, they had that game done to, like, every measure, again, but they never converted.
Yep.
And then Ebert kicks one late, four inside 50s for the quarter, and they even it up with, you know, on the siren, two goals each. And you go, geez. Third quarter comes out, they, being Port Adelaide, enjoy a similar dominance and kick three goals and were unlucky with that, not unlucky, the three-on-one danger, anyone, you know. So, yeah, I just think they didn't take opportunity. I don't know what was going through Tom Hawkins' mind. I seriously don't. The Coleman medalist who kicks the ball left to right beautifully wanted to not even think about a left-foot snap round the corner. So those moments, but if they were to go out in straight sets, Jared, we'd be having a whole different conversation. So that pressure builds and, you know, Chris understandably says it's lazy when we talk about the record, but the record's real. The record is real. And we can say they're unlucky. Not unlucky. They weren't unlucky last night. Best team won. They had opportunity, didn't take them. You know, they led Richmond in a prelim last year. Everyone keeps telling us that. That's right. They did and they lost. You know, and they've had bad moments and their record starts to become bigger and bigger. But I haven't given up on them yet. I would expect them to bounce back next week and put themselves in a prelim.
So I take it that Chris knew what was coming and his response to it is it's lazy. The question is the record an impediment now to the way that they play? So was last night's inability to convert set shots, was Tom Hawkins' completely abnormal performance? Is any of that weighed in the fact that, God, we stuff this final up every year and here we are? So that's actually... And it's the completely intangible conversation. Yeah. But the only bit about the record that matters is if it's in an inhibitor when they take the ground now.
Mm. So I don't know the answer to that.
No, it's
I'd
unknowable.
Be staggered if it was. For Tom Hawkins, I'd be staggered if it was. Now, again, he would have to explain that. I mean, there are other aspects of that game. They kick two goals in a row, get themselves back to 7 points, and there's a midfield of at the centre bounce of Dalhouse, Atkins, Duncan, and Stanley. So we asked Coyne this morning, never ever in the history of that football club has that four started in the centre bounce. So they've dragged it back to 7 points. It wasn't like they didn't have time to manufacture something because it was on the back of a Hartlett. Review with Hartlett, so there was time. Now, I understand Joel may have had the finger, so he may have been out of commission, but Patrick was a full forward. I've spoken to him, not personally, but on something else we did today, and you know, he just said we backed ourselves to win the clearance. Well, you didn't, and you went for the first time ever with a four. Ever.
How does that happen?
That's such a good question in the modern game.
Yeah. Because you've got more time than ever after a goal well.
Yeah, on top of that, don't forget the delay. Well. So this is a 2-3 minute delay where all your coaches are sitting there going, right, who we got in the four? Well, we've got Atkins, Dalhouse, Duncan, Stanley. Well, you go, really? We've just kicked two in a row. We've got momentum. Is that the four we're going to trust to try and give us field position against a team who rely so much on field position, who kicked 19 points to none out of the centre square? And you go, really, is that our four? I think it's something they'll be looking at today. They'd have to be looking at it today.
It's so interesting is that a paint by numbers moment? Is that the play that was chosen and sent out there? That's not really how the modern game works.
I'd have to say they did it knowingly. on the basis of the time, I'd have to say they looked at it, recognised it, and said, yep, let's roll with it. Because
it makes no sense, though, does it? They've never done it before. It makes no sense.
No, no, I've got the stat today. First time ever, I could try and remember it. Dalhouse had been to 8 centre bounces for the year. He was there twice last night.
Yeah.
So, strange. But that's just one of the things that maybe, you know, okay, well, why don't we win finals? Well, a decision like that isn't, I don't think, going to help. And this is not a hindsight one either.
No.
My phone started pinging, like, you know, everyone's, what were they doing here? Actually, when I saw the shot, I thought it was a forward line group as well. They got Stanley deep, and there's Atkins, and there's Dalhouse, and Duncan must be, and then it panned, and it was a centre square.
So strange. Do they make any changes, do you think, for the next final? We know how old the team was.
They didn't lose because they were old, though, did they?
No, I don't think so.
Gee, they lost because Rowan didn't get a job done, Myers didn't get a job done.
So Rowan's a really big conversation because he has a terrible finals record, which... And so, again, my intangible question is, what role does a team's previous – what role does an individual's previous history have when he takes the field? And is he a fellow who's just completely unsure of himself?
I felt he was flying last night in so many packs. Now, I know he can take a good mark, but they've looked better with a smaller combination, haven't they? And they've settled on that. Mm. They used to have, you know, Radicalia playing as well as Stanley. They've settled on the fact. But it does mean that, particularly when Danger's not there, that Rowan is the second forward. Now, he can take a good mark, but he didn't look like it last night.
No, they stretched them early, didn't they, with Stanley running down and looking at... And it were, when you saw it, you're going, oh, hey, yeah, that's a good ploy, because McKenzie, you know, halfback flanker, essentially. Yep.
And Henry went forward at the start of the third quarter just for a couple of minutes, and I thought, oh, they're trying something here, but...
So, and then you got Ablett, and then you got Gazza in there as well, which is a discussion, you know, is... You know, no one's game enough to say he shouldn't be playing in a big final, because he could just as easily swing around and kick four, and, you know.
But could he? I guess that's the question. We've now seen two games of him, and he'll definitely play next week.
Yeah.
But
well, I couldn't definitively say he wouldn't.
His form was excellent at the start of the year. Mm. It was really good, but he's missed so much footy.
Yeah, but that's the point. And this is one of the great dilemmas, is that he's missed so much footy, but he is Gary Ablett, and, you know, they're struggling to kick goals. They kicked four against Richmond, one up to three-quarter time, and kicked five last night. Mm. That doesn't matter. You can cut it up any way you want. That ain't winning your finals. And that's against the best teams in the comp. So, and then you go, do you drop Gary Ablett out of that mix? I wouldn't be brave enough to. Do you bring Brad Close back for Gary Ablett?
It'd look a bit lopsided on paper, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So they brought Atkins in for the harrying and...
Yeah, he deserved to be in their team. He's carried his position for the year.
This is why finals... People always ask, what's the big... Because the teams who are out escape this level of scrutiny. Melbourne head off ninth and, you know, the people go, oh, they've had a winning season, good on them. Well, they escape this level of scrutiny, and this is career. These are career decisions you make now on the back of finals, and they go off the. They don't make the finals. What are you saying about Gary Rowan? Mm. Had a good year. Geez, had it made a difference. Can't wait for a see him next year. Right now we're going, Gary Rowan. What do I do with him? That's the harsh reality, and the glare of the spotlight the most important time of the year brings, and that's why we love it.
If they lose next week, there'll be lots of questions asked.
What would be a number of players?
Yeah, that's a completely different conversation. So Port over Geelong. Port have won a home preliminary final in a couple of weeks' time, and tonight Brisbane and Richmond fight for the same honour. We're going to have Tom Lynch join us in our pre-match. So how close was he? How is the hamstring? We're going to talk trades with Sam Edmund in a moment's time. She's busy for 10 groups of supporters. Oh, and those who are in the finals. There's an awful lot happening, so Sam will bring us up to speed. Every side is the best side of the Hyundai Tucson, packed with safety features, progressive technology, and now from just $29,990 drive away. Plus, the Tucson comes with a $1,500 bonus during the Hyundai 2020 model runout events. This offer won't last forever. Test drive it at your local Hyundai showroom today, or as soon as is practically possible tonight from the Gabba. It's the Brisbane Lions and Richmond. The Monopoly game at Macca's is in full swing. Download the app now and get a free chest open the next day for your chance to win amazing prizes. Ends at midnight.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value. Friday night footy on AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's biggest.
Tonight from the Gabba, the second qualifying final, the Brisbane Lions and Richmond's with a place in a preliminary final and hosting rights up for grabs. Jared Waitley, Anthony Hudson and Gary Lyon with you this Friday night on AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. Terms at mcdonalds.com.au and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. So there's eight groups of supporters who are intensely engaged in the footy and everyone else is watching on and no doubt enthralled by what's to come. But for 10 groups of supporters, it's all about what happens next. And that is the trade period.
Which, it just started earlier than ever.
It's active. Yeah,
isn't it?
No doubt.
I mean, we're still, what, a month out?
I still want to see the final numbers as to whether more happens or not, or whether more just gets spoken about.
Because we're in hub life. We've got nothing else to
do. And there's still list sizes and all those things to drop too. So it's,
yeah,
adding more doubts and questions for clubs.
Yes, although
decisions.
I don't think anybody I've spoken to is treating that as an inhibitor. I think no. It's just full on ahead. And if they get their knees cut out from under them, they'll make their adjustments then. Sam Edmund, this is his world.
Oh, Sammy.
The world of trades is Sam's. Hey, Sam, thanks for your time on a Friday night.
Anytime you're asked to join AFL Nation royalty, boys, it's an absolute pleasure.
Is Friday night fish and chip night for you, like KB, Sam, or what are we interrupting?
I'd be lying if I said I hadn't just blown the frothy off one. So, I have cracked a beer, Hutto, but pizza night tonight it might be, actually. A bit of lamb pizza.
What's Sammy Edmund order up? A little Hawaiian, or are you a bit more exotic?
No, a bit of lamb pizza, Gaz.
Oh, lamb pizza. Sorry.
Yeah. There's a bit of pesto on there. Very nice.
All right, I think the best way to do this is by checklist. There are different ways to do trades. I think a checklist is best, isn't it, Sam? We'll just ping ideas at you and you can tell us what's known and what's unknown.
Yeah. I like the way you boys do it during the week. Yeah, heard it or haven't heard it or whatever you do. I can't remember.
Well, you know, you guys just had a very interesting conversation before you welcomed me in there in that list sizes and we're a month away from the trade period happening. I actually hope we are a month away from the trade period happening. Something in me says there might be some suspicion that with list sizes, and they still haven't got an answer, these clubs, it's very hard for them to make decisions on some players, particularly anyone from the top shelf down. I mean, they will make allowances for the big players in the game. But for everyone else, a lot of other players are waiting for certainty. So I just hope the trade period does start as advertised on November 4th.
Imagine if it got pushed, because it wouldn't stop any of the chatter or speculation.
Dan Andrews turned around saying on October the 19th that you're not getting out of this lockdown. They might go, well, bad luck. We're doing it.
All right, here we go, Sam. Exactly. Sean Higgins.
He's almost certainly going, Jared. Take a pretty big about face for him to stay. Basically, he's had enough. I mean, he stayed loyal last year alongside Goldstein when obviously the Cats launched that double raid on Arden Street and they came away empty-handed. Now, Higgins signed a one-year extension at North until the end of next year, but he's always said that if the club saw fit to rebuild and move on senior players, he'd be happy with that. And the Cats carrot is still very much there for him. I think behind the scenes as well, guys, he's not as happy as what he was 12 months ago and 24 months ago when he won his second straight best and fairest at the Roos. Now, he won those consecutive best and fairest playing midfield, but he spent a lot of this year not playing midfield. And I'm sure North have got their reasons for that. But it doesn't always appease the player, doesn't it? And in this case, a player who remains a classy ball user and an elite decision maker. I mean, he is 33 in March. You'd think it would definitely be a two-year deal to get him to the Cats, which means he's 34 at the end of that deal. But I think there's a real chance. It's Gary Ablett out, Sean Higgins in.
Yes, you know my view on this one, Sam, from a long way back. Is if he can't waste the whatever's left of his career, he can't waste playing out in a rebuilding side on the wing. So it's for his own good. Yeah. He has to, and I think North Melbourne will. I imagine they carry some sort of guilt over this as well, as they sold him a completely different story from what it's ended up being.
The question for me around North Melbourne is how many players can they lose from their list? Because they've got to replace them, and that is obviously determined on the list size. But so the last three or four players they take off their list, Do they replace them with three or four players that are just as good or just as not good?
So 11 have been delisted already.
Yeah, and so there's more. Well, there's clearly going to be more that leave. Brown and Higgins and maybe Pollock and maybe a few others. So there's definitely a suspicion around at other clubs that they've got a few up their sleeve. But maybe they can land a big gun, maybe they can't. But it's going to be interesting.
Sam Geelong, do you want to flesh that out a little bit?
Well, there's going to be – well, we know there's – you're right. It's almost a scorched earth policy at North Melbourne at the moment. They've shown nothing but the fact they're going to be super aggressive. There's going to be plenty of musical chairs at Geelong too. I mean, it could be Quinton Narkle out, Nakia Cockatoo out as well. Charlie Constable, a good chance to seek a trade as well. So there's going to be some real movement at the Cattery. And then on the other side, we know they've touched base on Luke Bruce, Jack Viney they have an interest in, and also a big interest in Adelaide's restricted free agent Brad Crouch. So there could be quite a bit of activity at the Cats this year as well.
What do you think the Crouch scenario looks like after the week's events?
I don't think it's changed from an interest perspective, at least not from what I've been told. I mean, whether it affects compensation on the bottom line, it'd be foolish to play guesswork on that. But the bare bones is the interest remains from what I've been told. Geelong have been interested from a long way out. A number of clubs have touched base with him. I think he finds a new home next year, albeit at nowhere near the figure that and the terms that he was chasing late last season, this time 12 months ago.
Braden Pruce creates far more conversation than he's ever played games, but is he about to become a first-choice ruckman somewhere?
Well, put it this way, Jared, if he doesn't leave this year for GWS, he just doesn't want to be a number one ruckman. And the Giants are red hot on him. They're doing their homework as we speak, seeking references and the like. They've got a real eye for trading for him. Sydney are in the mix as well. It looks like one of those clubs. The Giants do have some query about, and this, given they've got Shane Mumford still there, can you believe, playing on next year as a backup, Gary?
No.
They've got queries on Pruce's ability to cover the ground and spread, can you believe? And he's a monster of a man at 206 centimetres and 114 kilos. He has got the 2 years to go on the contract there at Melbourne. But Luke Jackson's gone past him. Gorn is there as well. At 25, this is the moment for him. And he has copped a heck of a lot of stick for signing that four-year deal to what some people have called not play at Melbourne. But it was very much the two-ruck pitch at Melbourne. And Max Gorn sat in on a lot of those meetings. They made him feel loved when perhaps he didn't even have a relationship with Todd Goldstein at North Melbourne. So he was eager to get there for those reasons, and it hasn't quite worked out how he would have liked.
What's an underplayed ruckman worth?
Well, if you're GWS and you're desperate, you'd drive a hard bargain if you're Melbourne, would you not?
Lockie Whitfield.
I was talking to someone at a club today about and made the point that there's probably only three clubs in Australia who aren't spending endless hours right now on ruckman and just looking at what's there and how do we find and determine to get a quality ruckman from somewhere, because you just don't know. And whether there's even a suggestion that the league needs to create like a ruck academy or something, because it's just a conundrum. A lot of these is explaining that, you know, a lot of the 18 or 19 year old ruckman, once they're not picked up, they go and play local footy and then they lose interest. Mm. But the reality is that most of them aren't any good until they're 21 or 22 at all. So it's an issue for the game to a degree, or he felt that anyway.
And the Blues swooped at the right time too. I mean, they got Mark Pitnett in as for the bag of chips, basically. And now Cruz is obviously retired, broken down and retired. And I think that's a big part of Bruce's decision here. He's looked around the competition. He's seen Mark Pitnett become a number one ruckman. He senses his opportunity.
The McDonald's, Tom and Oscar.
Oscar is an uncertain playing future is a nice way to put it. I mean, he's out of contract at the D's, and that new deal that was, we spoke about this morning on SEM Breakfast, Jared, that was so positive earlier in the year has faded. The enthusiasm has faded from Melbourne's point of view there, and he's very much up in the air. I think he's good enough to be on a list somewhere. I mean, they preferred him to Sam Frost 12 months ago. Since then, obviously, Adam Tomlinson recruited to play on a wing. That hasn't worked out. He's gone back into defence. They've got May and Lever there as well. Oscar's 24, 7 games this year, not a free agent. So a deal needs to be traded, but I think he hasn't pulled the trigger on anything yet, Oscar, but I think he might very well be tapped and asked to find a new home.
What's the vibe on Adam Saad?
Still no decision on Adam Saad. The five-year deal that became a four-year deal and is now back to a five-year deal at Essendon, he continues to mull over. It stayed put or Carlton, but no decision on him yet. And that Zach Merritt unhappiness that did bubble to the surface a week or so ago is real. And several clubs have been alerted to that fact. Obviously, you can't see Zach Merritt going anywhere this year and he's contracted for next season. But watch this space in 12 months' time if his mood doesn't improve. Can you imagine, though, trying to strike a deal from now with the Dons on this? With the Doro riding shotgun Sheedy back at the club. You reckon, talk about Lachie Whitfield for Bruce. What would they ask for Zach Merritt?
Yeah, no, he wouldn't be going this year. But it is, I mean, he becomes a restricted or a restricted. Is it next year?
And next year, I'd say he'd be a restricted free agent, Gary. Yeah. So I guess.
My question is around Joe Danaher, Sam. And there's clearly a suspicion that he'll go to Brisbane and that maybe some sort of deal will be done. But if Essendon are true to what they wanted last year, they said they would match an offer for Joe Danaher. So if that's the case, what would that look like, do you think?
Messy. Very messy. Messy in the lamb pizza I'm about to devour, Hutto. But you're right. I mean, I don't know the answer where Joe Danaher's going. I don't think anyone does apart from his most intimate circle, and maybe even they have their doubts. But you ask enough people, and Brisbane keeps coming back as the answer. I think Sydney have cooled for whatever reason. We don't know. Maybe they look in their own backyard and they see the struggles they've got with Buddy this year. Do they really want to bring in someone like Joe Danaher who has such a checkered past physically? So Brisbane, they've been into him for a long time. Quite some time, in fact. He's holidaying at the moment. He's gone off camping. He's gone bush, as he does. And we all wait for a decision. But all signs point to the Brisbane Lions. And if they do match the deal, Hutto, well, then we're pretty much in uncharted waters.
Isaac Smith?
Still weighing it up, Melbourne or Hawthorne. Melbourne desperately want him, Jared. They see him as a real missing piece of the puzzle, to use the well-coined phrase there. Plop him on one wing, Ed Langdon on the other. Two-year deal to go across. They think he's got a lot of miles left on the clock. He's just got to make a decision, Isaac Smith. Does he stay and sign the deal that Hawthorne did put to him some time ago that was 2 years as well, or does he leave seeking a fresh start at a club like Melbourne, like his old mate Jordan Lewis did?
Jack Viney.
Sounding like he'll stay. It has been a rocky last few months with him. He's a restricted free agent, and that's why the Cats have touched base with him. I think the Cats, rather than being the thief in the night here, are more waiting with the safety net at the bottom of the 110-story building just if he falls out. I mean, I think they've always, in the back of their mind, suspected that he's going to stay. They've been a bit apart on money, though. I mean, Melbourne presented its first pitch, which almost offended the Viney camp, I've been told, but then at the same time, the Viney camp's counter-offer was way above what Melbourne thought was fair and reasonable. So there's been a bit of to and fro there to reach a common ground. I'm hearing that they're just about there, though, Jared.
Ben Brown?
Yeah, free to a good home, Ben Brown, and being shopped around massively by, speaking of guilt, I reckon a slightly guilty manager in Adam Ramanauskas, given the terms that were on his desk at the start of the year. Have you seen a bigger about-face and a change of fortunes in a guy's career path as Ben Brown this year? So they're shopping around massively at the moment. Still no sign as to where he will end up.
Has there been any team that's emerged or not?
Not that I'm aware of, Gary, no. Not at this point.
It's interesting, isn't it? But someone will. I mean, will come.
Yeah, they have to. I mean, a lot of it comes down to game style. That's what why he's not really going to be at North, is that he doesn't suit the game
style. About my Demons, whether or not that would be a home for him.
Yeah, it seems to make sense. But
MCG, big deck, emerging midfielder. They haven't always used the ball beautifully going inside 50.
Ball delivery?
Yeah. Ball delivery, not been a strong suit, but they got better at it as the year rolled on. You just wonder. They've been crying out for something inside their forward 50, and there's a bloke who's gone 60, 60, 60.
I know the Cats have been linked to every known player, but if they they've clearly got interest in Jeremy Cameron, they've apparently had interest in Joe Danaher. So would they have interest in Ben Brown, or is it similar that he wouldn't suit?
Well, you use the logic, you'd have to say yes, wouldn't you? I mean, without knowing the answer, Hutto, using the logic that you provide there, you'd have to say yes. The other thing is, though, would it take a lot to get him out of there in a trade? I mean, given the way he has been put out like the old wine rack on the nature strip, I mean, is it going to take a lot to get him in a trade? Can North possibly now turn around and drive a hard bargain?
No.
That's the Jake Stringers about it, hasn't it?
Their strategy has been bizarre.
There was actually an old wine rack out the front of my next-door neighbour this week too, Sam, by the way.
Do you know what's happening with Jeremy Cameron?
The way it was put to me, Jared, is that it's just hard to believe, but he's pretty laid back is Jeremy Cameron, and the way it was described to me is that, and this might sound hard to believe, but he hasn't given it a lot of thought throughout the year. With everything going on, it's gone to the back burner, I'm told, a bit, and it's got to the end of the season. Well, it's like Jezza.
It was a run of flathead or something, was it?
Yeah, exactly. Jezza, we might want to sort this out. I mean, so everything's always pointed to him staying. I think that was another one, to be honest, a little bit like the Jack Viney situation where the two parties were a fair way apart. He's had a massive downturn in form. COVID's hit. Clubs are feeling it now on the financial front more than they were 12 months ago. So there's been a bit to work out there for a guy who's really fallen off the cliff form-wise, hasn't he? But as they say, class is permanent.
I know nothing. I'm just asking innocently. Yes, Sydney couldn't have dropped off Joe because of Jeremy, could they?
Yeah, it's not a bad theory. I have floated this theory around, Gary, to those that will listen, and I haven't been able to put any meat on that bone, but would it surprise you, having interviewed Andrew Ireland today for Sporting Life in a couple of weeks and spending a large portion of that talking about the buddy heist, you would not be in any way surprised if Sydney turned around and asked Jeremy Cameron, hey, buddy, you love it in Sydney. You love the fishing here. Why don't you just come across town with us?
Very good, Sam. We'll let you get to your pizza. We'll do it each week. We'll just check in and see what's developed over 7 days.
Sounds good, guys. Good calling.
Sam Edmonds, who's got his finger on the pulse of the world of trades. This is AFL Nation, the pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. 116 stores open online, in-store, click and collect or delivery. Tom Lynch coming up as our feature guest.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value. You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value. Friday night footy on AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's biggest.
Oh, well, there's an element of respect around the Tigers for what they've done. Aura's a big word, sort of supernatural. I'm not sure they're supernatural, they're just human beings like we are.
Chris Fagan and his approach to tonight confronting the Tigers with the hoodoo that's in place. This is AFL Nation for Liquorland and the Canadian Club and Dry 375ml cans 10-pack. It's spicy and zesty, complemented with hints of rich oak and sweet vanilla. Pleasant sweetness mixed in with your favourite dry, ready to drink for your enjoyment. The teams are in for the two elimination finals tomorrow. Gaz and Hutto, St Kilda, Zach Jones is in and Battle is out with a foot injury. So that's emerged during the week. Jones told us whenever we spoke a couple of weeks ago that he would be back, and so he is. And the Dogs are unchanged.
And Brad Hill told us that Josh Battle was out.
That was excellent.
He just dropped it in, I think, when he was having breakfast, and about 12 heads just spun around and looked at him. No, so that's okay. Josh Battle would... Yeah, I think he would have played. Someone else would have. So someone's got a game there, which is great. No changes for the Dogs. Nice and settled. That means Norton's come up, and that means that Wallace has come up. They were the two concerns there. The other game is the interesting one, West Coast and Collingwood. Mm.
So four changes for West Coast. McGovern, Redden, Cripps and Shuey are all back, while Schofield, Foley, Williams and Rotham lost their places. And
Collingwood, better.
Yes.
Infinitely
yeah.
better.
So they got their whole their whole reinforcement list back, didn't they? And then Collingwood have gone in Main and Cameron and out Tyler Brown and Varco.
So the interesting thing there is that the vulnerability for West Coast is ground ball stuff, is that when, you know, they're not a great ground ball team, so you've taken out two ground ball players in Tyler Brown and Trev Varco, and you've introduced Main, who's a, you know, willing compared to, we love the way he goes about it, but Darcy Cameron, I guess to keep him honest in the ruck and maybe to provide some back half to Grundy for Nat Newey if they need it, but aerially... Then he has to be competitive. He and Mason Cox, you know, we talk about marking and intercept mark, they just can't be outmarked.
I'm surprised. Yeah, that surprises me just instinctively.
Does to me because, but it, yeah, no. So you look on the one hand, what's the strengths of this West Coast side? Is that they are great up here, not so good down there. So your team then is reflective of the team you pick to take them on is you take away ground ball stuff, which... I don't know. They're always open for a late change, of course, but that's a problem.
Yeah, weather looks 17 and fine for tomorrow, so that's not an issue for them.
So they haven't done this year. They haven't played Grundy, Cameron and Cox, have they? So when switching over,
I think you're right.
This is sort of Collingwood, isn't it? Is they are searching for something that hasn't been there, and it's a hard time to find it. It's a hard time to find it in the first week of the finals.
Well, and in that aspect of the game, against Barras and against McGovern and, you know, a marking team that Kennedy and Darling, they're strong in the air, asking a lot of those guys. So anyway, if that's the opportunity that they've got, then they've got to live up to it. And it's, you don't have to go out and take six contested marks, but you cannot allow those intercept markers to become the thorn in the side that they have for a long time.
So I guess I've had it in my mind all week. If Collingwood was to do this, they would do it as it would be trench warfare, that they would have built themselves into the greatest frenzy of us against the world of Western Australia that we would have ever seen, and it would be an assault.
Mm.
That's not picking a team for an assault.
No, and you know, along those lines, smash it in. Doesn't matter how you get in, smash it in forward, and then, as you say, charge in there and just put pressure on like there's never been before. Don't allow them to get out. Try and develop this real strong front half ground game. If you got Darcy, Cameron and Cox in your forward 50, and this is not being disrespectful, this is just the reality. They're not great defensive players. They're not great defenders of uncontested marks, control play that the West Coast Eagles do. So it's interesting. Yeah, maybe we're going to see something a little bit different there from Nathan and Collingwood.
And the Eagles' reinforcements. Oh, so they are now stocked for their finals assault. Whatever it looks like, they're stocked for it.
Yeah, indeed. So just shore up the midfield. Chewy, the captain's the star. Ridden is underrated, I think. Cripps gives them, you know, a bit of ground ball stuff forward, and then McGovern. So they're ready. They're no excuse now. They're ready to go.
Can they get through what happens in Perth and face the Cats?
They did play twice, at least, that I can see. Against Carlton was one, so around 13 and 14, Darcy Cameron and Mason Cox played in the same team along with Brodie Grundy.
All right, so they've had a look at it, and now we'll get a look at it in an elimination final in the West. That's the way the teams have landed. Every side's the best side of the Hyundai Tucson, packed with safety features, progressive technology, and now from just $29,990, drive away. The Tucson comes with a $1,500 bonus during the Hyundai 2020 model runout event. This offer won't last forever. Get in and test drive at your local showroom today. We're heading to the Gabba next for our feature interviews on AFL Nation. The pregame show is from Beaumont Tiles. 116 stores open online, in-store, click and collect or deliver.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value. You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value. Friday night footy on AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's biggest.
Tonight at the Gabba, the second qualifying final, the Brisbane Lions and Richmond, for all the favours in the final series, the short road home, the week off and hosting rights for a prelim, which means more to the Lions than it does for the Tigers in terms of a venue. But the loser, they'll find themselves, if they're good enough, through Adelaide. And what we saw last night is you don't want to be in that environment. AFL Nation for McDonald's, the Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. Terms at mcdonalds.com.au. And Liquorland, click and collect in just 30 minutes. Jared Waitley, Anthony Hudson and Gary Lyon with you. We're shortly to be joined by David Noble, the general manager of footy at the Lions, and then Tom Lynch, the star Tiger forward, who unfortunately is not there tonight. Caution the better part of valour for the Tigers just to keep their powder dry with the double chance rather than jeopardise him for the series.
Yeah, we wanted to see the battle of the hamstrings. We wanted to see he and Aris Andrews go at it, but probably a wise move in the end, and it just provides an opportunity for number four to want a bit more room and a bit more space when he wanders down there to create his mayhem.
Well, but both sides, when they played last time, had a number of players out, but it was the night. Remember, Brisbane played three young talls, and Payne was one of those. I sort of felt, and watched some of it back today, that Aris Andrews sort of had to overcompensate a little bit. He was trying to cover a couple of players at once, but they also had a couple of Skinner and Ballenden playing forward. Remember Skinner missed that shot for goal? He played on at the top of the goal square. Yeah. That was one of the misses in the second quarter. So I was sort of watching it, trying to get a gauge for what those opportunities were they missed, but, and they were clearly there, but Richmond ended up winning so easily. It's hard to sort of judge, I think, in the end.
Mm. So 8-17 and 4-17 does skew everything, doesn't it? There's all manner of theories around it, but you can have all the theories you like, as we'll find out if they can either sort it out or not.
Yeah, I had a look at it, so I had some numbers on it, and it's early in the week I wanted to find out whether it was part of what Richmond were doing to them. to say, oh, they corralling them well, they leaving a little bit of space. If they're going to make it, if they were going to concede a mark inside 50, then it was always here. But didn't appear to be the case, it has to be said. The accuracy problems, the quarterfinal back in last year, they had 17 shots from the corridor. So 17 shots from an area where you should kick, they kicked 6 goals. And in round 10 this year, they had 11 shots from the corridor and kicked 2. So it wasn't all, the theory was, the accuracy's down because they're taking the tougher shots in the comp. There was a bit of that, but not to the extent where they should be, should have been 4 goals, 17.
It does put such an element in the early stages of the game. Is their past 4 weeks has been better noticeably, but that doesn't matter against Richmond, does it? Where twice in a row they've gone 17 behinds. The first 3 set shots at goal are immensely important.
And it's their midfielders largely, isn't it? Have been the ones that have missed. They're the ones with the really bad records. But it's you really want Hipwood from a Brisbane point of view to come out, take a mark, kick accurately. Mm.
Not at that stage yet. I'm not at that stage where I look at him and go, oh, good. It's in his hands. Or Rayner.
I don't think it's in his hands, but we saw last night how it can spread quickly. Well, Hawkins, it was himself. But
No, you're right. I mean, McCluggage and those guys have got terrible goal-kicking.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I'm not at the stage yet where I can completely trust Hipwood McStay or Rayner if the ball's in their hands.
Well, to me, that's been the question on Brisbane as they've made their improvement. Have they got a good enough forward line? Have they relied too much on Charlie Cameron to get it done? But I guess they've had so much growth elsewhere, haven't they, that it's got to the point where if they can play like they have played at their best, they've got a good enough team to win.
Yeah, no question about that. They tick so many boxes, so they've just got to be a bit more precise when they go forward, and they've got to protect the turnover better. Richmond's ability to hit them hard when they do make a mistake, I looked at some visions today as well, they just got really badly exposed out the back on a number of occasions. So they've got to tighten all those things up, and that comes a bit with the way they go forward and where they go to and what sort of risks they take. But they're in good form. They're in really good form. A midfield battle's always going to be pivotal. McCluggage and Neil and Lyons and Berry and Zorko. It's a good midfield group. And it has to be, because we know how good Richmond are.
Who are the players in your mind who will seize the moments for the Lions? So this is you go out in straight sets. So Chris Fagan had a great way of describing it. He said, we didn't even recognise the moments, let alone meet and seize the moments. So who are the star players who will elevate this time around?
Beyond the obvious, which is Lachie Neale, obviously, then Zorko, to agree. I'm a McCluggage and Berry man. They're the two that always jump out at me and go, well, they look like they're ready. Yeah, and they probably played 2 finals, and it's a great way to describe it. They played 2 finals and they was there and gone before they realised that they hadn't made the most of it. So I expect them to be better this time around. Stasevich is a boy who talks a big game, so it looks like he's going to enjoy it. And then Anthony's right. My big my slows on them all year has been their forward line as well. But Eric Hipwood's looked to me in the last month like he's got an appetite for it and like a realisation that, yep, I can do this and I'm not going to be anchored to the goal square. I'm going to get up and move and be that buddy-style forward. He's more of a buddy-style forward than a Jonathan Brown-style forward, if you want to get the two sort of pictures in your own mind. So, I would say McCluggage, Berry and Hipwood would be the three. If those three come out of this finals campaign with reputations royally enhanced, then they're playing in a grand final.
Yep. Richmond with no Lynch and no main second ruckman as well. And with Stephen Martin able to come back into the Brisbane team, and McInerney continues to elevate himself in his standing. Is that a significant advantage to Brisbane or not?
I haven't seen it. Enough of McInerney, taking something and turning it into a 3 or 4 goal sort of influence yet to suggest. And I'm a bit of a Chole. I like Chole.
Yeah.
I think Chole is better than a pinch hitter in the ruck. And I think he's better than a pinch hitter forward as well. So I'm happy with him as a replacement. It's nowhere near Tom Lynch, but I think he still holds his own.
I mean, it's really Richmond almost back to what they were, isn't it, with Jack being the main forward and then Littles around him.
And don't underestimate how important he's been over the past month.
Absolutely.
Because there was a stage this year where he was struggling, and struggling for possession, struggling for input, struggling, let alone hit the scoreboard.
but it just sort of came together a bit for him in the past month, and you wouldn't count him out. But yeah, they need him to score. No doubt, it's going to be a factor that there's no Tom Lynch in this team. And whilst Tom hasn't kicked 70 goals for the year, he's still been your two or three every year.
So how do you use Harris Andrews? Does he play on Revolt, or do you just go right? Well, Gardner, you play on Revolt, and Harris can take Joel.
I think he becomes more dangerous as a floater. As you know, he'd have his opponent and then be able to sum stuff up. If he needs to get off and help Gardner against Revolt, I think they'll play that role rather than have him locked down on Jack. I think that's where they'll prefer to play him.
So the setup for tonight, Tom Lynch is going to join us shortly. David Noble's otherwise occupied, so we're going to miss on that one. Okay. Hey, just a stray one out of last night and the umpiring setup and the bouncing of the ball.
Did you speak to Ray today?
No, I deliberately I wasn't quite sure whether to go for a Geelong text or a Ray text. Why wouldn't we just go the superior bouncers bounce and the superior decision makers just make their decisions?
Ask Ray. Because of course that's what they should do.
It's compulsory for him to bounce when, for reasons with his back and the like, he's not able to do it to an adequate degree.
Does he not have the choice to say, I'm not bouncing?
Well, it would seem no.
Right. Well, then he should. Because that's a simple thing. That's not even something we need to debate with umpires. That's just, I mean, we can get up in arms and get outraged. And the focus was there last night because it was there. But it's just stupidity that the best bouncer doesn't bounce the ball. It's just out and out stupidity.
It's different if they're bouncing around the ground and you say, well, Ray can't bounce, he's got to throw it up and the others bounce it. That's different. But the scarcity of bounces there are in this event now, it makes no sense.
It's almost ceremonial now in the way that it's done. And if it goes askew, then it gets tossed up. I don't understand. I sort of get their rotation through the field so you're not anchored to the same spot. But that shouldn't preclude. Just have if there's two blokes who are great bounce, or if there's one bloke who has just bounce it all night, there's only 15 damn bounces.
It invites an unnecessary scrutiny to the game that the umpires don't need, and that's what happened last night.
And it could also shorten careers, which I think we have seen previously. But the worst bit will be is if Ray is dispensed with because of the bouncing rather than the decision. All we want over the next 3 weeks is the best decision makers. Yes. Spare me the rest of it. All we want are the blokes who can manage the game and make the right decisions.
And how does it affect their decision making? Does that play on their mind? We saw Tom Hawkins, as level head as anyone, has had a great year in front of goals of kicking, lose his mind there for a moment. So we want clarity. We want clear-minded umpires, and don't muddy the water with that unnecessary burden.
Old mate Derek Humphrey-Smith would still be umpiring if they'd put that rule in.
Tom Lynch is going to join us, the Injured Tiger, in a moment's time. Experience the convenience and contactless online shopping and delivery at Hyundai through selected dealers. You can buy your dream car online today at Hyundai's Click to Buy, and right now get an extra cashback rebate when you buy online. Visit hyundai.com.au/click to buy to find out more. The Gabba tonight. The Lions and the Tigers on AFL Nation. This is the pregame show for Beaumont Tiles. 116 stores open online, in-store, click and collect or deliver.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly Game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value.
Do you have your eyes on a new car but all your local showrooms are closed? Hyundai has the solution for you. You can experience the convenience of buying your dream car online with Hyundai's Click to Buy. During September, Hyundai will reward anyone who purchases a new car using Click to Buy with an extra cashback rebate. That's an added bonus on any existing retail offer for buying a new Hyundai online. Visit hyundai.com.au/click to buy to find your local dealer. TCs and exclusions apply. Every side is the best side of Hyundai.
Sometimes needing new tyres can catch us by surprise. That's why Tyre Power gives you the power of Zip Pay and Zip Money. It means you can get what you need now, get back on the road safely, and pay for it later, taking advantage of the interest-free periods. So if you need new tyres or mechanical repairs, don't wait till it gets worse. Get them now with Zip Pay or Zip Money at Tyre Power. No fuss, no wait, no worries. Terms and conditions apply. So visit tyrepower.com.au or call 1321 91 for your local owner-operator.
So you want a furphy. It's back in 82. Burras were down by 6. Right on the siren. Mark of the match. 60 metres out. But he booted that ball so hard it split like an old shoe. The leather went through for 6. But the bladder
sailed through for an extra point. And that's how I kicked a seven-pointer to win the match. There's your furphy. Unbelievable.
The Monopoly game at Macca's is in full swing. There are 55 million prizes to be won with a total value of over $532 million. Peel, play and win at Macca's today. Ends 20th of October. For full terms, visit mcdonalds.com.au.
The 1116 SEN AFL commentary team are supported by Samsonite, the leaders in light and strong luggage. With tremendous innovation and a 10-year global warranty, when it comes to travel or hotel stays, they pack their Samsonite.
Here's this weekend's finals on 1116 SEN footy. On Saturday, St Kilda take on the Western Bulldogs at the Gabba at 4:40pm. Then on Saturday night at Optus Stadium, West Coast play Collingwood at 8:10pm.
Wherever the footy is this season, the SEN AFL commentary team will have their Samsonite, the leaders in light and strong luggage.
There's one name on everyone's lips this summer, Pope and their auto wind hose reel. And it's easy to see why. It's a strong unit and silky smooth going forward or back, thanks to the new and improved rewind system and stop and go action. I love the versatility too, with a choice of 12, 20 or 30 meter hose. You can take the short option or go long. Look out for the smoother, safer, better Pope Auto Wind Hose Reel. Available at Bunnings Warehouse. Make it best on ground at your place this summer.
A grandpa carrying a folded newspaper. A ute with paint cans in the tray. A little kid not looking where she's walking.
You could miss a lot if you glance at your phone while driving. When you're on your phone, you're driving blind. TAC.
G'day, Josh Jenkins here for Harness Racing Victoria. Harness racing is still in action, so here's some info to get you up to speed. Introducing Trot's Homeschooling 101. Bet smarter. Rather than playing the wide quaddie like you might at Flemington, many Trot's punters stagger their quaddies by standing out the favourite in one leg of the quaddie, but playing the second quaddie with the main dangers for a lesser spend. Find out more about harness racing at thetrots.com.au. Always gamble responsibly.
Hello, Frank Walker from National Tiles. Sorry about the sound quality, I'm doing this from home. During Stage 4, National Tiles is open for trade sales only between 6:30am and 3pm weekdays, with online sales open as usual 24/7. Yes, during Stage 4, National Tiles is open for all trade sales between 6:30 and 3pm weekdays, with online sales open as usual 24/7. So go to nationaltiles.com.au now and save.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, always great value.
Down to the second qualifying final, Richmond and Brisbane from the Gabba. AFL Nation is for McDonald's. The Monopoly game at Macca's is making winners. And Liquorland, click and collect in just 30 minutes. Jared Waitley, Anthony Hudson, Gary Lyon with you. And we're joined by Tom Lynch, the injured Tigers star forward. Tom, welcome to AFL Nation.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks for having me.
Just walk us through, if you would, what happened from Monday morning when from the exterior it seemed like it was going to be okay to Monday afternoon when you got ruled out. What did you go through?
Well, I ran Saturday and I thought I was all good and ticked everything off. And, apparently not. I think it was very touch and go, but all surprises everyone. But the medical team, I think they just weren't convinced that I was 100%. And I've never done one before, so it wasn't the best person to get advice off. So they didn't come to me too much. I think they were pretty independent and just thought that it was too big of a risk and give myself another week.
So did you quibble with them at all? Did you go, hey, I think I'm all right?
Oh, well, yeah, to be honest, I did a big session Saturday. I thought I did everything well. Like a normal injuries I've had, you sort of tick something off and you're fine. But Timo rang me Monday. Said where I are, and when I had a chat to him, and yeah, it's probably never good when the coach calls you on a Monday, and it wasn't that good, to be honest. He just said, "There, look, we've made the decision. We're not going to go with you. Too big a risk. So have another week of training."
Were you even more annoyed when you saw that Harris Andrews got past fit to play?
He's obviously playing, so which is good. He's obviously recovered well, and he's right to go.
So what has your program been this week? Did they back off on you at all, or how have you gone about this week?
So I trained, what day was it, Wednesday, was our main session, so I probably did about 80% of that. So they sort of set me up for Saturday to be either play or if not, just get some training done. So that's all they're really keen on, just getting a good block of training and then train fully next week, because obviously trained a little bit less early in the week that sort of put me in doubt. So, yeah, next week I'll be training fully and right to go.
Tommy, Gary Lyon here, mate. Good luck for the rest of this season. I want to know what it's like playing as a key forward in this modern era. We're seeing 5-9 last night. You know, we're seeing consistently low scores. I'm looking at the leading goal scorers for you guys. I don't know whether you realise, but you and Jack are 28 apiece, so that's tight. But they're not the numbers that we've known over the journey. Do we just have to get used to this?
Yeah, I'm not really sure, because obviously last year, I think, what did Jeremy Cameron kick? 70 goals for the year or something like that, 60 something. So, yeah, well, I just think it's probably a bit of a strange year in general. So I think the shorter quarters don't help being a key forward. It's, I think it's later in the quarters when it really opens up, and teams are able to play that team defense for a lot longer, and we're not really seeing it open up as much as it has in the past. So, yeah, I think it'll probably go back next year if it's longer quarters and stuff, and you'll see more key forwards kick goals. But it's just a strange season all round for everything, isn't it? So it's one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's a good observation. I mean, I have heard that theory put forward that Richmond have been disadvantaged to a degree because you've enjoyed sort of grinding teams throughout the course of a quarter. Do you think that's real?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I think we've, especially, obviously here last year, and I think later in games we managed to grind teams and get on top of them, and I think teams potentially are able to play sort of negating and choke up the ground a lot more with the obviously shorter quarters, and I think that's probably one of the factors. But in saying that, I think obviously Brisbane and Port Adelaide being the best two teams in it, and they've shown a way to win the games when they can.
How do you think this team's tracking? I mean, I've got a whole bunch of numbers in front of me and statistics in front of me that suggest you blokes are much better placed coming into this final series than you were even last year. Do you feel that's the case?
Yeah, I feel like the last sort of 6 weeks was really built, and we've had played some really good opposition and managed to go to the line, which obviously you get great belief at. But so compared to last year, I don't know, last year was last year, and completely different year this year in so many ways. So it's pretty hard to compare 2 years, but I feel like we're in a good spot. We're obviously up against a quality side tonight, the Brisbane. Obviously second on the ladder, and they've played some great footy, so we're going to be in for a really tough time of it tonight.
What's been the worst thing about hub life, Tom?
Noel Bolter, he's just gone out and bought these two massive speakers, and I'm opposite him, so all hours of the day he's just playing it. So by far, first of all, being opposite Noah is bad enough, let alone when he's got these speakers. So that's probably the worst.
How have you managed the on and the off times in terms of footy?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I think I've probably had it pretty good up here because my girlfriend's up here, and I've been pretty busy with uni throughout the year, so I've managed to sort of switch off. But I think that's one of the things we wanted to make clear early, that we were living at our hotel. It's not... It is a footy club, but in working hours, so to speak, Punt Road during the work hours. But after that, it's our home, so we want to make it relaxed as possible. And we made it clear that it wasn't a footy pre-season camp. It's our home, so try and make it as homely as possible.
And have you noticed any change in Dimmer through the year in his mood or in his, adjusting to what the right manner is to be as the coach living in such unusual circumstances?
Well, I haven't noticed a lot throughout the year. I think throughout the year, you sort of, guys probably aren't getting any escape. So I think everyone sort of goes through ups and downs throughout the year, and the coach is probably no different. But to be honest, he's probably been up all year. But I think, I haven't noticed too much of a mood change through him. But I think, just having that balance when it's time to work and when it's time to just relax and have dinner and enjoy each other's company, which we've really enjoyed.
What do you think we should expect from Dusty tonight?
I'm not too sure, to be honest. I think he'll obviously go in the midfield and spend a fair bit of time forward. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to watching him play. And I think he's, hopefully a couple of goals like last year would be nice. But, looking forward to it.
You got a role tonight, Tommy? What are you doing?
No, I just sit in the stands, doing nothing, just watching. So,
are you a good watcher?
I don't think anyone is really when you want to be out there, but no, I'll be fine. there's only a few of us boys because we've got a practice match tomorrow. So a couple of young boys, a couple of injured guys are here with us. So we'll sit down with them and, yeah, sit back and hopefully enjoy a great game.
So will you join in that scrimmage tomorrow?
No, I won't.
You're not playing in the bloody final. You're not playing in some scrubbers practice, man.
Keep the prized asset away from it. Hey, and, well, endure tonight, and we look forward to seeing you in the next couple of weeks. Who's to say? It might not be 2 weeks down the track. Good luck.
Thank you. Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Otto, guys.
Good on you,
Tom Lynch with us from the Gabba.
Here's a question for you that's just come to light. In knowing Tom Hawkins' history and his tribunal history, which I've called for, if I was to tell you he's been found guilty for striking Tom Rockcliffe, what would your immediate reaction be?
Good grief.
$1,500 fine would be adequate, I would have thought, Guess.
No, take your supporter's hat off. I am telling you right now that Tom Hawkins has been found guilty of striking Tom Rockcliffe in the final last night. The record of Tom Hawkins, we know what it's like. What do you think Tom's looking at?
Suspension.
Yeah, he just writes the check. I've been telling you, you write your check. I'll have $1,500 worth of punch, please. And that's the reason why, because and that was a backhander, and it would have been at the lower end of the scale and all that sort of stuff. But given he's a recidivist, it is extraordinary that he's been found guilty of striking and he's set to play next week.
Did you have a look at it then? Yep. Did you think it was a reportable offence?
Well, it was sort of off camera and it was one of those ones where it had to be highlighted. So that's my first look at it. It was a backhand throw.
Barely.
It's at the very lower end.
I mean, Rockcliffe.
If it was his first offence, Jared, if it was his first offence, there's no chance he should be missing a game. He's a recidivist. He's a lucky man.
How he could still be doing that sort of stuff is just beyond me. He wasn't having a great night, though, was he?
So he's paid $1,500 for the privilege. Anyway, he's there. He's playing next week. And one day we always have a pre-season chat with Steve Hocking and ask him about this clamp down on striking that they spoke about there a few years ago.
So if we ran that to its extension and you had a system in place which you believe graduates through, and if you're a recidivist, bad luck, would you, having seen it, would you be comfortable with him missing the semi-final on the back of it?
Yep. Well, again,
that's the point. Yes. So it's running it to its end point.
That's right. So what happened, my theory on that is that he gets the opportunity earlier in the year, if he gets found guilty of one of those, to take the 1% or take the game right then and there. Now, had he taken the game at round 12...
But is it only in the year? It's only in that year under your system?
Yeah. And if he's a second, he gets 2% or 2 weeks. Anyway, it's a funny old game we've got where you can have probably 6 or 7 cracks at it and never miss a game.
The spin-off question, I think, is would any other player have been cited for what we've just watched? I can think of one other, and I couldn't go any further than that.
Yeah. Well,
Shout out for Tyre Power. Go and see Penny at Tyre Power Sunbury right now. Buy three, get one free on selected Toyo tyres.
The further shout out is this. If you don't want to worry about it, don't worry about it. Just say, we accept that you can punch blokes in the head, in the guts or whatever, but we don't worry about that in our game. We don't care about the look. We don't worry about it. All we do is fine them $1,500.
So it was striking 6 times after an exemplary start to his career, which has brought together 6 matches worth of suspension along the way. So a fine this time around. AFL Nation, the pregame show for Beaumont Tiles, exclusive bathroom packages, $4,000 a lot.